Monday.
This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning to you listeners in Barbados and wherever this program is being heard. It's a privilege and an honor to be with you again today as we share the Word of God with you on this another Because He Lives radio broadcast presented by the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District and faithfully sponsored by Federal Motor Spares located at Bank Hall, St. Michael. We continue to give God Almighty thanks for their commitment to sponsoring this weekly program, and we pray God's continued blessings and favor on every aspect of their business and their family life. And listeners, again, we encourage you, patronize this business, Federal Motor Spares at Bank Hall, St. Michael, for all your motor needs. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we are thankful again for this another opportunity that we can use the airwaves to spread your message of faith, your message of hope, your message of love. Father, you still care. You are still in the saving business. And Father, as this broadcast go forth today, we pray that someone listening would be strengthened. Someone would be encouraged. Someone who would have lost their way would find their way through the word that would be delivered today. Father, may your message go forth today with authority. May it go forth with clarity that everyone herein would benefit from something that has been said in your word today. Father, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for the organizers who make this possible. We thank you for the technical team behind the scenes who continue to make sure that this production go forth. Father, we bless you. We pray for our minister, even right now. May her word go forth with authority. And may someone today experience the fullness of your love in their life. And may change be brought about. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I am Jennifer Graves, and today it is my pleasure to be with you as we continue to feature our laity from across the district in this month of October. I have one announcement for you before I introduce our minister for today. Sunday coming, October the 26th, the Eversley Foundation will be hosting their fundraising luncheon in the Tiffany Room at the Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center. The organizers are hoping for a prompt 1 p.m. start. Limited tickets are still available. You can call our district office at 435-4444. Our presenter today has dedicated the greater part of her life to Christian ministry and outreach, both locally and abroad. She currently serves as a lay minister at the Cullamarock Church of the Nazarene. An educator by profession, her greatest joy lies in building strong relationships across generations, inspiring others to serve God and humanity with authenticity, passion, and impact. To make Jesus Christ known and to empower believers to do the same is her mantra, which captures the essence of God's call on her life, which she has wholeheartedly devoted to the service of her Master, the King, Jesus the Christ. Brothers and sisters, the pleasure is all mine this morning to introduce to you our minister for today, Minister Ruth Moisa Stout, hailing from the church at Cullamarock. Ruth, may God bless you as you share with us today. We are sure that he has given you a word for us. God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Jennifer. Good morning, radio listeners. It is my privilege to be here to share with you this morning what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. The title of this message is Fruit That Remains. Fruit That Remains. And the main text is taken from chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew, verse 23. Let's say that again. Chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew, verse 23. It reads from the King James Version, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. May God add his blessings to this word this morning. Brothers and sisters, earlier this year, February the 3rd to be exact, I turned 40 years old. Yay! I was so grateful to reach this milestone, so moved by God to see the age that I had heard for so long was the age that people truly began to live. I kept hearing over and over again that 40, or should I say life, begins at 40. So I was eager to move into this chapter of maturity and thankful that the Lord had allowed me to see it. Now, some words that I hear from people around this bracket of age, 40 and up, may include career growth, promotion, qualification or certification. You may hear some talk about managerial or executive, succession planning, investment, security, and retirement. And a favorite of mine, legacy. Legacy. Now, you may have heard the expression before, leaving a legacy. Well, that means in legal terms or law terms, to leave property or money to an organization after you die. It can mean something of significant value received from an ancestor or predecessor. Now, I find myself thinking about this word a lot these days. I'm thinking about this word as I seek to establish myself in various areas in which I serve. And by establish myself, I mean I want to get good at it. I want to get better at it. Okay, we're not talking about entry level now, but if you have been in a workplace or, whatever organization or even in ministry, if you've been there for a particular length of time, you don't want to be operating at the same level you were when you now started. You want to establish yourself either through greater study or maybe gaining more work experience or trying your hand at new skills or developing new skills. And so I find myself thinking about this word legacy as I seek to establish myself. And I ask myself, how is what I am doing impacting another being? Whether it is a disciple at church that I'm mentoring, or a student I am teaching, or a family member I am walking alongside. And beyond questioning the impact on people, I want to know, Lord, am I making an impact on the kingdom of heaven? Am I making an impact where it matters the most, where moths do not eat away and rust does not corrode? If you too ask these questions, I don't think it is that you are being morbid necessarily. It is not that you are necessarily being obsessed over death. But unlike the infant or adolescent that believes they will live forever, you are cognizant, or should I say more cognizant at this time, that you are a sojourner in this life, a pilgrim progressing on a journey that has a destination. While many may delight in the idea of becoming centenarians, the reality is that for some of us, our number will be called earlier. Listen, I was watching the funeral of the recently departed prominent minister of the gospel, Vody Bochum or Bochum. Correct me if I pronounce that wrong. And as I was watching and listening to the tributes come in from various ministers, his family members, his children, his wife, I could not help think of the second stanza of a familiar hymn, "Hold the Fort for I Am Coming," which goes, "See the mighty host, see the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on, mighty ones around us falling, courage almost gone." And it is true, If you've been around long enough in ministry, you will experience mighty ones falling around you. And I remember that last year, and probably the last 2 years, were rough for me in that I saw friends, I saw Bible schoolmates, family members, partners in ministry, even 2 students from the discipleship class that I teach. They were called home to be with the Lord. And because it felt like it was happening in, you know, such a short space of time, it left me shaken. I'm being honest, it left me shaken. But such shaking serves to remind us to pay greater attention to the dash in our lives. That dash that falls between our sunrise and our sunset. You would see it on the funeral pamphlet, date of sunrise, dash, date of sunset. Well, that text, Matthew 13:23, suggests to us that God is most definitely interested in a dash that is fruitful, a dash that is impactful, a life bearing fruit, and fruit which remains after we are gone. Now, let's zoom into this verse. The verse concludes the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils. We are told in the preceding verses of Matthew 13 of a sower sowing seeds. Understand that Jesus was at the height of his evangelical healing and deliverance ministry, as by this point, he was already attracting great multitudes. And we see this in verse 2. The sower sowing seed is figurative language to mean the preacher preaching this word of God, or the evangelist proclaiming the word of God. When that word is released, it falls on 4 kinds of soil, Jesus explains to us. We have the wayside soil, those who don't understand the word and make no attempt to do so. And because of that, Satan snatches it away. And we see this in verse 4 and 19. We have the stony soil, those who hear and at first accept the word with joy, but when tribulation and affliction arise to contest their belief in the word, they do not stand fast, as Paul tells us in Ephesians. They faint away. And we see this in verse 5, 20, and 21. Then we have the thorny soil. Those thorns, by the way, are not immediately evident. And that is just the case of deceit, which hides away in our hearts. You know, on the outside, a man or a woman may look godly. They may even talk the talk. But then as they walk out their lives, we realize, something ain't adding up here. Sometimes there are things on the inside, the Bible calls it the deceitfulness of the heart, that chokes out or distracts or tears us away from our first love. And so we get a case of not a sudden shift, but a gradual waxing cold of that once devoted heart. The cares of life snatch that person away. The cares of life tear them bit by bit away. And we see this in verse 7 and 22 of chapter 13. But then Jesus draws our attention to the good soil. The sower called it the good soil. Jesus calls it the good soil. The pastor, the preacher, or the evangelist calls it good soil. And they call it good soil when you see the following. Let's dig into this particular verse. We see here that it is good because he heareth the word. The listener first positioned himself to hear the word. Oh, what a noisy world we live in. There's noise of the workplace demands, noise of family demands. Some people at times feel consumed by the noise of bills and, you know, other obligations. You may not have a family per se, but you have life obligations. You have to pay your bills. You have to make sure that certain things are done by certain dates. You have to remember to go get your doctor's checkup and, you know, different things like that. So there's the noise of everyday demands and the noise of managing the expectations of other people, particularly if you wear various hats. Maybe you have the hat of father in your household, then you wear the hat of colleague or even supervisor or manager at work. Maybe you wear the hat of ministerial leader or ministry leader or usher or choir director. You wear different hats, and as such, you have to manage various expectations. Then there's the noise of social media, which is a greater pull for younger generations. But older people, especially since COVID, are spending more and more time in the online environment. And with all those noises, there is the internal noise, which, if not surrendered to God so as to become a mind of peace, will descend into a mind of carnality. That is, chaos and a stomping ground for the enemy. A mind consumed by the ways to satisfy the flesh. A mind destined for death, Paul tells us in Romans 8:6. The believer must therefore fight through that noise and intentionally create opportunities to hear God's word daily. Woe is the believer that lives off Sunday cooked food alone, what I call the pastoral meal, but is satisfied to eat junk food and warmed up leftovers for the rest of the week. Jesus teaches that his words are spirit and are life, that he in fact is the bread of life, and when we come to him, we will not hunger. Listen, God's word is fresh. We hear those words that Jesus mentioned there, the words that I just said, in John chapter 6, 63 and 35. God's word is fresh. Every time you break his word, you should be looking forward to a fresh meal. How shameful it is to be starved out when the word of God is life everlasting. Make every attempt, brothers and sisters, to hear the word of God. Attend Bible study. Read or listen to the Bible on your phone or in the car on your way to work. Instead of scrolling on your phone after a tiring day, and I admit that, you know, sometimes when I've had a very stressful day in the classroom, sometimes I just want to come and, you know, dumb down my brain. I don't want anything heavy. I don't want any heavy conversations, anything that would make me have to think too much. I want something simple and easy. You know, a little 10-minute video, something that would make me laugh. I admit that there are times where you scroll for entertainment, but we have to be able to manage that. Don't let that get out of hand. Listen to a sermon instead. Listen to something that would edify your spirit, man. The online presence of many churches worldwide increased exponentially during COVID, and many have remained online as they see it allows for greater reach. So in short, we have no excuse. The word is all around us. Hear it. The soil in Matthew 13:23 is also called good because the listener understands it. He goes beyond hearing to mentally processing the word and allowing a God perception or a godly stronghold to form. We hear about ungodly strongholds, demonic strongholds, and pulling down demonic strongholds. But similarly, or should I say, on the other hand, when we read and we study and we understand God's word, we are erecting godly strongholds in our mind. Yes? And this influences the believer's outlook on a particular matter. That outlook determines then what action will be taken. Proverbs 4:7 tells us, in all your wisdom, get understanding. Don't just be a head full of wisdom and knowledge, but get understanding. The soil is good because the listener does not just hear the word and collect a pile full of Sunday sermon notes, but returns home and thinks on the word, meditates on the word. Failure to understand the word is what has resulted in so much misunderstanding of God's word. Sometimes, even from behind the pulpit, as is evidenced by the incorrect dividing of the word of truth to support, as we have seen in recent times, sexual immorality, violence or racial divisiveness, and even inclusion in worldly events under the guise of our salt preserving or purifying ungodly environments. Some believers are misunderstanding the word of God and are lured away by fortune telling and divination in the pulpit because, believers, they are not submitting themselves to understanding the word for themselves. Thirdly, the soil is good because it is this study and meditation of the word that brings fruitfulness to the life of the believer. Psalm 1 verses 2 and 3, a favorite memory verse of mine when I was a teenager, says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that beareth forth his fruit in his season." Show me an unfruitful believer, and I will show you a life in whom the word is not being activated. Dead yeast, dead seed, stagnation. But the believer who activates that word in their life doesn't even have to proclaim it. That believer shows by fruit. Yes? Matthew 7:16 tells us, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" You don't always have to go into an environment and announce you are a Christian. Onlookers, they can tell from the fruit of your spirit. That is, according to Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Someone say, "Help me, Lord, help me." Because listen, the thing about the fruit is that you only know it is there when the pressure is applied. I, as a teacher, in this environment that we are living in today, this generation, let me tell you, it calls for gentleness. It calls for patience. It calls for kindness. You know, there are sometimes, I teach secondary school, so I teach teenagers. And there are sometimes, man, they just can get you so riled up that all you can do is stare and ask the Lord to keep your mouth pinned down before you say something you regret. And my students, they would say to the other students, "You, listen, mama about to crash out. Mama about to crash out." And that term, crash out, means to lose your mind. So teaching requires patience and self-control and gentleness. It is the presence of fruit, believers, that marks the mature believer. And the absence of said fruit that lets your pastor know, your family know, your workmates know that you are a carnal believer. But brothers and sisters, Jesus brings a very subtle difference into the equation of this verse. He says, "Which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, I know enough to know that no word is hazardly placed in scripture. So, at first glance, it may seem like if Jesus is being redundant by saying, bear fruit and bring forth fruit. Yes? But when we look closer at these expressions, particularly in the Greek, we see that the first word means to bear fruit, yes, to be fertile. That word is karpaphoreo, to bear fruit, to be fertile. And the second word, poeo, means to bear, yes, to bear fruit, but to produce, to shoot forth. And when we couple it with the words that follow immediately after, it speaks of to shoot forth in a manner of multiplication, a crop, a harvest, as alluded to here when it talks about 100-fold, 60, 30-fold. Now, let me put it this way. I was never great at fruit-bearing gardening, so I usually stick to the ornamental, low-demanding plants. But during COVID, I tried my hand at planting some fruit-bearing crops. I tried eggplants, for example, the eggplant plant, if that makes sense, the eggplant plant. And I planted about 6 to 8 of those plants. Among the lot, would you believe I only got 3 small eggplants? I later tried my hand at sweet pepper. Same thing. Pumpkin, same thing. They bore fruit, but they did not yield a great harvest. Now, you may tell me that there are several reasons for that. But the point I'm trying to make is that you can bear fruit and yet not produce to the point of multiplication. Now, the last reason why the soil was called good, and I'm bringing this to a close, is that not only are we called to grow in our spiritual walk, not only are we called to be spiritually mature, but this maturity must lead to us creating or yielding a bumper crop. We are called to produce more than just for our families to enjoy. There must be a surplus to share with our neighbors, give away, or even sell and make some cash. What am I saying here? I'm saying that Jesus calls the soil good because you are not only content to live out your Christianity in your home, but to let that Christianity manifest or be made manifest in your street, community, workplace, and beyond. You are not satisfied to be saved, sanctified, and on your way to heaven, but your children, grandchildren, workmates, neighbors are bound for hell. God wants us to be fertile, yes, but also to produce in the measure that we are making an impact, making His presence actively at work in our lives, draw men unto Himself. I want to urge us this morning, not just to sit and get spiritually fat Sunday after Sunday or Saturday after Saturday, but to be active in the kingdom of God. Not just to memorize scripture, but to live it out for others to benefit. Not just to grow in maturity and hide away in a cave to be perpetually close with God. You know, you're so spiritually minded, you're all in the clouds and you're shut away all the time. But to come out of that cave and get on the mountaintop and tell the world that Jesus saves. This is the type of fruit that remains long after we are gone. This is why 2,000 years later, we are still feasting on Jesus' words. Why we are still inspired by Paul and Peter's ministry. Why we are still inspired by Esther's bold stance or by Daniel's faith in the midst of enemies. Why Hannah gives us hope in seemingly barren situations and why John's visions in the book of Revelation still leave us mesmerized and on our toes as we await the coming of Christ. The soil is good, even with the sower recognizing, though, that we are all called to impact differently, but nevertheless to impact. You see, some will preach on a pulpit. Some teach children's Bible study. Some share in the marketplace. Some will preach and proclaim the word to the nations, while others will be drawn to 1 or 2 or 3. But we are called to make an impact. And so I leave you with this challenge from God's word this morning. Matthew chapter 13, 23. But he that received seed into the good soil is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. God, hear these words this morning. And let these words bring glory and honor to your name as they are released. And I pray, God, that they are released into good soil. May someone hear God's word this morning and be inspired, motivated, quickened to get up and make an impact for the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. We need to impact this world for Christ. There's someone waiting to hear. There's someone waiting to see. There's someone waiting to receive what you have placed on the inside of us. Let us bear fruit and fruit that remains. Amen. Because he